This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9, the business station. I've got Ibrahim Sani here with me, as well as Julian Ng. I'm Melissa Idris, and the three of us are going to be bringing you the biggest business news of the day. 7:36 right now. We're going to take you all the way to 8 o'clock, and we're going to start off with Greece. The Greek Parliament has just passed a new budget cuts and tax rises, and this comes just 2 days before a Eurozone meeting is expected to unblock the much-needed bailout funds for the country. So Eurozone finance ministers are set to meet in Brussels tomorrow. What will this mean? Good news for Greece or another concerns of a Grexit on the horizon?
Yeah, the motion was passed very, very thinly. 153 voted yes, 145 voted no. And I think this is a controversial motion to pass because protests are still rife. People are still angry with the government.
Yeah, but we don't come across very controversial passing of motions very often. But this is important, right? This is Greece.
I don't know whether he meant that. There was a double meaning in that.
So talking about double speak, Varoufakis, the ex-finance minister of Greece, Yanis Varoufakis, is a very outspoken finance minister who was going to call the EU's bluff by actually going for Grexit back in the day. And he weighed in on Brexit as well, saying that the UK absolutely should not let Brexit happen because the EU is in a disgraceful state. So on the one hand, he's saying the UK shouldn't leave. But on the other hand, he's also saying that the EU is in an extremely disgraceful state. And I guess that's the conundrum that Greece is going through today. In order to stay within the EU, they have to keep to the rules, and the rules would give them money, but it will also give them a lot of pain.
But also, the money that they are asking for is to pay the Troika, right? It's to pay the ECB
the
debt that they have. So they're asking to borrow more money to pay off their debts, and it's a never-ending cycle, especially when you think about what Greece is going through. Unemployment there is astoundingly high. You talk about youth unemployment, Julian, I remember you quoting some figures that were
staggering,
really. It's just like unbelievable.
I think 40% youth unemployment. But, you know, Greece was country that went to the party without bringing the wallet. So now the Troika is asking them to kind of foot a little bit of their bill.
Yeah. But it feels like it's never ending. I mean, we talk about the Grexit. Every few months it surfaces up again. And I wonder, do they have a plan to really kind of get out of this hole?
Yeah, the plan is to create another hole to get out of this hole.
They're digging themselves deeper.
And that's why
problem.
These protests, they are labor-backed protests, and the protesters are insisting on core reforms because they say that this is unfairly penalizing workers because that high unemployment rate, 40% unemployment rate at youth, they are saying that those that are being employed are not being paid well.
Yeah.
And you know, there's no right answer to this.
I mean, we often look at it from a macro point of view, but when you read news reports who quote people on the ground, I'm just going to quote the BBC news report here. As a Greek citizen, I feel my only strength left is just to be prepared for new cuts and measures. Call it despair, because Syriza's motto for the 2015 elections was hope is coming. Now people feel totally hopeless. Did hope die on its way here?
Yeah.
That's just tragic.
Right. So I just watched a long 40-minute video on YouTube over the weekend. Yanis Varoufakis was mentioning a lot about hope, was mentioning a lot about reform. And of course, you know, this whole story of Grexit is now coupled with the story of Brexit. And you're right, Julian, he's a strong anti-supporter of, he just wants structural change within the EU members, but it's harder said than done.
Yeah, I also saw Seth Meyers' talk show over the weekend as well, and he's saying that Brexit is closing in on us. June 23rd, we should not be mistaken for Grexit or Italy leave or Deportugal.
Whoa, no, I haven't heard that, Italy leave.
No, they're not leaving. They're not having any referendums.
Okay.
But very quickly, global finance chiefs actually have weighed in on Brexit, and they are very unequivocal on this, and they said that EU must be together, and they are saying that Brexit must never happen.
Okay, well, let's take a look at some other business news. Norway Sovereign Wealth Fund, which is in fact the largest sovereign wealth fund in the world, now they may be forced to step up divestments of coal companies as they could face a wider ban on investments in other fossil fuels. So majority of parties in Norway's parliament want to tighten guidelines that prevent the Sovereign Wealth Fund from owning companies that base more than 30% of their activities on thermal coal.
You know, the closest company to this in Malaysia is the EPF. And I don't know whether they should follow this kind of ethical kind of investment, because I think because they're dealing with a lot of money, they're dealing with people's money. The bigger question is on how should these funds invest? Do they chase after profitable firms, or must they go just on ethics, which may compromise on their profitability?
I think the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund is quite different from EPF in the sense that EPF, as you say, has to maximize returns because we have a retirement sufficiency problem. But Norway has enough money to last for the next five millennia, and they don't have to think about all the time profit maximization. They can go with ethics. And essentially, the Norway Fund has performed what no other organization in the world has achieved, which is to come up with a global fuel policy, because they say that they're not going to invest in any company that has more than 30% of their fuel mix in coal. And I guess, you know, they would not be able to invest in Tanaga, because Tanaga has 40% of their fuel mix in coal. And coal is, you know, a very cheap fuel. So it's something that is suitable for emerging markets and poorer countries to use.
Well, I don't know whether I agree with both of you guys, because I think as the world's largest sovereign fund with over $850 billion of assets under management, they are, like no one else, in a position to make an impact. If they decide to do ethical investing, then you know they can take the lead in this. Whatever decisions they have will make an impact in the investment world.
I'm with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah, and because of this, it's not new for the Norway Sovereign Wealth Fund to exit businesses that they deem as not suitable for their business practices. The fund has previously excluded more than 60 companies from their investment range for ethical reasons. This includes landmine companies, tobacco, nuclear companies, companies that are at risk of violating human rights and other environmental challenges. They've also exited companies that produce arms. So I guess they are, in that sense, leading the way in ethical investing.
Well, some of the arguments on the other side of the aisle, they're saying that the government has set off on a slippery slope and there's no way back. So there's no longer any logic in saying yes to some carbon and no to other carbon, which is, I mean, a valid point. Where do you draw the line, right?
Absolutely. I mean, so much of the world's business and consumption is entrenched in some ethical issue. I mean, we've come a long way to say no to shark's fins, for example, and that is pressure from all around. And then that awareness was raised with consumers. But I think policymakers and investors have a role to play as well in making this kind of decisions. But it's ironic coming from a country that has made so much money on fossil fuels, which is an environmental kind of destroyer. So right now we're moving to, I guess, a new stage where we want to take note of the possible alternatives that are out there as far as power generation. The alternatives, I think, are becoming cheaper for to produce and to use.
Yeah, okay. So you must remember that the Sovereign Wealth Fund in Norway started off as the Norway Oil Company. And when they are there because of the fact that they invest in fossil fuel. So should they now help other countries in renewables energy and investing heavily in them so that they can bring other countries up to speed on this?
7:44 right now. A news on Uber and Grab is coming up in just a minute. So stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.